Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Well, that crew this morning, I guess it was the early Super Bowl crew because they were loud and happy and yeah. How about, are you guys okay this morning? We're going to have a great morning because this morning I'm starting a series of messages on big faith. Somebody say big faith. I'm not talking about little faith. I'm talking about big faith. Yeah, there's only one kind of faith. It's called big faith, all right? And we're going to be talking about that over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so today, what I want to just begin with is just talking about really the kind of faith that pleases God. The kind of faith that pleases God. I was thinking about the song, this last song that we sang, What a Wonderful Name It Is. I don't know if you know this or not, but that song was written in a church in Australia called Hillsong. And it won a Grammy this year for Best Christian Song. And the wonderful thing about that is that it's a song that totally exalts the name of Jesus. And all that Grammy foolishness is going on to see that God had in the middle of all that a song that really just magnifies what a wonderful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus, that he has no rival, no equal. Is the name of Jesus. And so to have that song win a Grammy is pretty powerful, isn't it? Yeah, pretty powerful. We were with the pastor of that church last week in San Diego, and he just said, you know, we started our church in 1980. And he said, if you could have seen our first worship team, you would have said, no way would this group ever have a song that would go outside this building, much less outside into the world. And today, that same church is reaching the world and changing the world through worship. And so it's pretty amazing about them having a vision for something, beginning to speak it out, even when there was nothing even rudimentary on the earth that they could touch and, or hold on to. And so that's the kind of faith we want. We want the kind of faith that changes our life in a big way, changes our world in a big way. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about. So turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just start with what is faith. Start with what is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now, everybody say now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Used to, I would just read right over that first word, now. I just go, just pass straight over it as if it weren't even there, now. But I've come to realize that every word in the Bible is there for a real reason. Yeah, it wouldn't be in there if it weren't there for a real reason. And that word now really is indicative of the fact that God lives in the present. So the only time that we can really exercise faith is right now. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. And so God lives in the now. He lives in the moment. And we, if we're going to have a relationship with him, we got to be in the moment, right? You cannot schedule a relationship with God. Yeah, he lives in the moment. And so the Bible says that now, in the present, right now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith has a substance to it. We're going to be talking about that in the next 3 weeks. It has a substance to it. Faith is the substance of something that you hope for, that you hope for. Hope is the anchor of our soul. Without hope, you cannot have faith because faith is dependent upon hope. And so when you lose your hope, you lose your faith. And when you lose your faith, you can't please God. And when you can't please God, things are going bad in a hurry. Things are going bad in a hurry. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Earlier today, I picked up one of these guitars. Here we go. This is a real expensive Taylor guitar. And by faith, I'm going to crush it up here on this stage. No, I'm kidding. But it's a beautiful guitar, isn't it? Do you know that before this guitar ever existed, somebody saw it in the invisible world? Somebody saw this. Somebody somewhere, Mr. Taylor. Mr. Taylor saw this guitar in the invisible world. He saw how it would look. He saw how the chord would trip the pastor one of these days. He saw that it had 6 strings on it. He saw that it had gold this and gold that and had the little seagulls or whatever they are right there. He saw that. And he was able to look into the invisible world and see something that no other guitar maker had ever seen before. And he was able to pull it out of the invisible world and to make it appear right here before you today. It took faith to do that. That's how faith operates. Think about the chair that you're sitting in right now. The chair that you're sitting in right now. That chair was not here at creation. It was not here at creation. Somebody had an idea for a chair. I don't know. Maybe a cave brother pulled up a rock and sat on a rock and said, we can make a chair out of this. But somebody somewhere saw a chair in the invisible world and pulled it down into the invisible world. And through work and following that dream, he was able to create that chair. The chair that you're sitting in is a subspecies of that chair. And it was created by somebody who saw it first in the invisible world and then went to work with their faith and made it appear into the visible world. That's how faith works. That's how faith works. And so the Bible says in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let me put it this way. With faith, it's possible to please God, but with no faith, you can't please God. That means, that's why, that dead works will never get you anywhere in favor with God. I think I'm going to go do something wonderful for God. You know, people think, well, you know, I've made a lot of money, I've done this, I've done that, and I'm going to give this much to charity. Listen, those are all wonderful things, but if God wasn't the author of it, it's a dead work. It's something we do good in hopes that we would please God. But that's not how it works. We have to exercise our faith to please God. And then we exercise our faith by walking with God. You see, you don't work for God. You work with God. And we work with God by faith. And God always works in the present. So you don't have to worry about yesterday or worry too much about tomorrow because God lives right here in the right now. And he wants you to work with him now. And the reason some of us don't hear the Lord as clearly as we could hear the Lord is because we failed to do what he spoke to us yesterday. Why would he give us something different today? Make sense? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have no faith, can't please God. For he who comes to God, verse 6 says, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen to me. This is real important right now. Think about you. I'm talking to you. Put your hand right here on your chest, right here. I'm talking to you. Right? God has a reward in heaven for you that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of any man what God has prepared for you. And he's got something great for you. Some of you think, well, I'm too old. Some of you think, well, I'm too dumb. Some of you think I'm too smart. Some of you think I'm too good looking. Some of you think I'm too bad looking. Some of you think I'm too fat. Some of you think I'm too skinny. None of that matters. Faith is what matters. Faith is what matters. So if we want to live a life that's pleasing to God, we got to have faith because God has a reward for you. Yes. That guitar was not at creation. That seat that you're sitting at was not at creation. They came out of the invisible world because somebody had a hope for something, exercised their faith, and brought it into the visible world. Listen to me. There are millions of things still in the invisible world that nobody has pulled down yet. Millions waiting for you. Waiting for you. God give you a dream. We're going to talk about that next week. Because faith is substance, is a dream. Something that you have and hold on to that nobody else can have and hold on to like you. And so without faith, you can't please God. So we got to have faith to please God. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. God-pleasing faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to talk about God-pleasing faith. You brought your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. How many of you heard of Abraham? Yeah. Abraham. Abraham's a very central figure in the Bible, isn't he? He's a very central figure in the Bible, all through both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a reason why he's the central figure, a central figure in the Bible. It's because he was the first one of faith. He's the father of our faith, okay? And so we're going to read a little bit about Abraham. Abraham Paul writes about him in Romans chapter 4, beginning verse 17. The Bible says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. So this is what God spoke to Abraham. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You come out here to the seashore. You see the number of grains of sand on the seashore? So your descendants shall be. He takes him out at night, opens up the sky to him. He says, you see all these stars in the sky? And Abraham said, yes, sir. So your descendants shall be. You're going to be a father to many nations. Kings will come from you. But here's the catch. You got to get out from your family, get away from your city, go away from your culture, and go into a city that I'll tell you about. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to tell you about it until you get going. So take off. And so he left his family, he left his nation, left his culture, looking for a city. The Bible said a city whose author and maker was God. And so, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And in the presence of him whom he believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now we're beginning to see some of the examples and some of the understanding of really what are the elements of having faith. What are the elements of having faith? He says, first, he was in the presence of God, and God, what? Gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's what God does. And so if we're going to operate in faith, we got to do that. Verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. If you remember, God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Now, when God said this to him, Abraham was already 100 years old. And his wife, Sarah, was past childbearing. And so God spoke to him, said, I'm going to make you a father. And Sarah was in the tent and laughed. He said, what did you just do? She said, nothing. He said, no, I heard you laugh. Why did she laugh? Because how in the world could he be a father to many nations if his wife is past childbearing? Right? It's going to take a miracle. But Bible says that contrary to hope, you had no hope, Abraham, but contrary to hope, in hope he believed. So sometimes when you lose all hope, you just got to hope anyway. Sometimes when there's no reason to hope, you got to just hope anyway. Because without hope, you can't have faith. And without faith, you can't please God. Can't please God. Verse 19, not being weak in faith, that means he was strong in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness comes by faith. Not by keeping the letter of the law. It comes by faith. And so Abraham believed God, and in believing God, Bible says that God reckoned him righteous. Made him righteous. And so Abraham is the father of our faith. If we take a look at that passage a little closer, here's what we find, some of the principles or some of the elements of God-pleasing faith. The first element is this, is that Abraham believes. See, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. When you come to God, when I come to God, when we come to God, the first thing right off the bat is we got to believe that there is a God in heaven and it's not me. There's a God in heaven, it's not us. And that we believe that that God in heaven is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so the Bible says here that Abraham, he believed. He believed God who gives life to the dead. That there is a God in heaven who's able to even call those things that are dead into life. And even though my wife's womb is dead, she is beyond childbearing, even though she's an old woman, I believe that God is able to speak to her womb and bring that dead womb back to life. That's how Abraham believed. That's how he believed. So he believed. So God-pleasing faith believes. Number two, God-pleasing faith speaks. You can't have God-pleasing faith if you're going to be quiet all the time. Somebody said, well, I just don't like to make a show. You better start making a show. Well, I said, well, I just don't want, what if I say something and it doesn't happen? You better quit worrying about not happening and start worrying about something happening. Because it's time to stand up and have some big faith. And the only way you're going to have big faith is to speak. Yeah. Believe. Yeah. Some of you, listen, I'm coming over here. These are the sweetest teenage girls on the planet right here. Yeah. Right here. The boy's okay, but the girls are sweet. Y'all are quiet. You got to speak up. You be a woman of faith, got to speak up. Got to talk. Got to, look, get somebody's attention. All right? And talk. And so when you raise your voice, when you raise your heart, when you speak with passion about what you believe, what the hope that is within you, then you begin to activate that faith in you. So God-pleasing faith speaks. It calls those things that are not just as though they were. It calls a six-string instrument with a hole in the middle of it a guitar. Before anybody ever knew what the word guitar was, it caused those things that are not. It did not exist until somebody saw it in the invisible world and brought it out of the invisible world and set it down and said, this is a guitar, right? It caused those things as not as though they were. Number three, God-pleasing faith hopes. Contrary to hope, Abraham had hope. He had hope and he believed. Now remember, hope is the happy expectation of something good happening. And when we exercise our faith, it's the substance of things that we hope for. A lot of times we operate not in faith, but in fear. Fear is not the opposite of faith, but fear is the negative side of faith. Fear is a negative faith. Because fear says, I have a hope of something bad happening tomorrow. That's what fear says. And so it operates in fear about the hope that tomorrow's going to be bad. Okay? But if you're going to operate in faith, you got to have a hope that tomorrow is going to be good. Right? Because faith is the substance of what you hope for. What you hope for. All right? So contrary to hope and hope, he believed. He had a happy expectation that something good was about to come by. He believed God and believed that what God said was going to happen, regardless of his age, regardless of his wife's age, regardless of their station in life, regardless of anything. So he believed and had hope that what God said, God was able to do. Verse 19, number four, God-pleasing faith looks to God and not to yourself. Sometimes we think about the miracle that we need, and the very first thing we begin to look at is our checkbook. Do we have enough money to make this miracle happen? And let me just say this to you. If you can make a miracle happen with your resources, it's not a miracle. It's you making it happen with your resources. A miracle is when you don't have the resources. And you have no way of getting the resources except God give them to you.
Yeah.
Then that's a miracle. Okay? And so a God honoring faith has in it looking to God, not looking to yourself. Looking at God's resources, not looking at your own resources. Looking at what God's able to do, not what you're able to do. And so he looks to God. Number five. God-pleasing faith does not waver in unbelief. Does not waver in unbelief. Waver means to find yourself between two courses of action and to stay there. Should I do this or should I do that? I'm not sure if this is the way I should go or should I just stay home? Is this what I should give my life to or should I just wait? You waver between two decisions, two courses of action. You become unstable, and you wallow in indecision. You're unreliable, unsteady. And so Abraham was not unreliable. Abraham was not unsteady. Abraham did not waver between should I go, like God says, or should I not go. Abraham didn't think, will we have a kid or will we not have a kid? Will I have an heir? Will I not have an heir? He didn't think that. He did not waver in unbelief. He contrary to hope, he hoped, he spoke it, he believed it, he was looking to God, and he did not waver in unbelief. Number six, God-pleasing faith does not take the credit. And he gave the glory to God, right? And finally, number seven, God-pleasing faith lives fully convinced. This Bible, and your Bible, one just like it, is full of promises. Promises that were made to other peoples at other times that in Christ Jesus have been made to you. Okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that the promises of God are yes for you from Jesus and amen, so be it, from the Father. So these promises, as you read them, as you get them, you can apply them to your life in the hope that God's going to bring them to pass. And you exercise your faith to get them. And so you got all these promises in here, but you don't need all of them today. You just need perhaps one today. Lord, I need to have my back healed. And so you look in here and you find this promise that God, that Jesus healed all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And you say, okay, Lord, you said you healed all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. I take that promise today by faith. My hope is that tomorrow I won't be sick. And so I'm believing today that my sick body is going to become a well body in Jesus' name. And I receive that promise that you healed all those, not just some of them, not just part of them, all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. You healed them all. And so, Lord, I take that promise myself. It is yes in Jesus Christ and amen in God. Do you understand that? Okay. So God has all these promises for you in his word. Here's an analogy I think that works. This afternoon, you walk out of church, you get in your car, think, well, we got the game tonight, and you know what? I need to drop by Tom Thumb, and I need to pick up some Fritos. So you get in your car, and you go by Tom Thumb, and you get the Fritos. Yeah, well, I need some Doritos, too. Yeah. I want some guacamole. I want to get some hot sauce, some salsa. Yeah, I want to get a little cheese. Yeah, we're going to have just a big, big, big time. Have some, you know, beverages. Just Cokes and Sprites. I know what y'all are thinking. I've been to some of y'all's parties. I know what y'all are thinking. And we're going to have a big old party. So you go down the aisle and you get the chips. You get the Fritos. You go down the aisle and you get the Doritos. You go down the aisle, you get the salsa. You get the avocados. You get some onion. You get the salsa. You get all that stuff. You get some drinks. Get all that stuff. And you walk right out of the store with your cart. Go walk right past the cashier. If you walk past her, you just smile and say, good day. And walk right past her and start walking out the window, out the door. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to bust you, right? You're going to get busted. Why? Because you're what? Stealing the food. You're stealing it, right? Right? So the kingdom of heaven is like a big old Tom Thumb. Right? So when you go into Tom Thumb, you go in there in the hope that what? The Fritos are going to be there when I get there. Has anybody ever been to Tom Thumb and they had no Fritos at all in Tom Thumb? Right. They always got Fritos in there, right? And so when you go in there, you know you're going to get some Fritos. You know you're going to get, you know, some Doritos. You know you're going to get some guacamole. You know you're going to get all the things that you want. So you walk in there, you get it, you go out, and you come to the cash register, and you can't just walk out. You have to do something. What do you have to do? Pay. What do you pay? Money. Currency, right? So you exchange your currency. Here's my currency right here. I exchange it. Look at there. Look at that $100 bill. Oh, it's a 10. Another 100. No. So I exchange my currency. You see what this currency is? This is money. This is what I exchange for my work, my life. This is my life. So I give my life to this lady, and she gives me the Fritos, the Doritos, the salsa, and all the stuff, right? And I walk out happy. She's happy. I'm happy. We're all happy. Kingdom of Heaven is just like that. When you walk through the aisles of the Kingdom of Heaven, you got healing from my back. Let's go down here a little bit. Blessing for my children. Right, going down here. Come on down here. A wonderful godly marriage. Put down in there. You got all these promises. You just begin to take them down, take them down, take them down. And when you get to the cash register, guess who's standing there? Jesus. And is he going to let you just walk out just because he's got all these promises for you? No, you got to exchange something. You know what you have to exchange? Your faith. Your faith. Because your faith is the currency of heaven. Just like dollar bill is the currency on earth, faith is the currency on heaven. So you take that, having a great godly marriage down off the shelf, you put it into your your cart, and you walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that what you said, what God put together, no man shall put asunder. And Lord, I receive that promise today for my marriage and my family in Jesus' name, and I'm walking in it today, Jesus' name. He says, you are checked out. You go, baby. I'm going to take care of it. Okay, well, maybe that wasn't a great analogy, but it works. So this is God-pleasing faith. It believes, it speaks, it hopes, it looks to God, doesn't waver, doesn't take credit, lives life fully convinced. Well, let me tell you, Abraham was tested. His faith was tested. Now, this is the guy that already left his family, already left his city, already left his people, already struck out looking for a city that he didn't know where he was going. He'd already done all that. He'd already believed that God was going to give him heir, children, that he'd be an heir to the whole world, the father of many nations. And so he already believed all that. So you think, you know, he's good to go. But there was one little thing that he needed to be tested on. What was that thing he needed to be tested on? Was his heir, his child, Isaac. Isaac. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, now here's what he's concluded, that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So his faith was tested. Well, let's go back to Genesis and look how he was tested. Genesis 22, verse 1 says, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Let me just say this moment. If God tested Abraham, he's going to test you too. If he tested Abraham's faith, he's going to test your faith. So just get ready. Say, well, that's not fair. Well, here's the great thing about God is God never... You never fail the test. No, you just get a chance to take it over again. Yeah, good. And so, you know, God tests you by something, and you go around, and he tests you again. You go around. If you mess up again, he tests you again. Yeah. Go around. That's why some of you are dizzy. You just keep going around, round, round. He just keep testing you. But look, at some point, you got to say, what I've been doing is not working anymore. So if I want a different result, I got to do something different. Okay? And so God tested Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham said, here I am. And God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had called him. Then on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And he said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. He's speaking words of faith. At this moment, all he knows is he's going to offer his son up for burnt offering. You can imagine. This is something that Abraham had waited on, had received from God, was excited about. I mean, this was the heir. This was the kid who was going to have the kids, who were going to have the kids, who were going to have the kids to be the father of many nations. This is the one. This is the heir. In Isaac, so you see, it's not Esau, it was Isaac, this one. Not just any child, but this one. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and he had a knife. The two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." Then Isaac said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now, that's the minute I had turned back right there. I just said, you know what? God, I believe, but I can't do it. I can't do it. The Bible says that Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He did not stand between, do I obey God or do I let my son live? You know why he was able to not waver? It's because he knows that God is able to raise him up from the dead if he needs to. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Now watch this. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Boy, don't you know in that minute the kid is thinking, Dad, what are you doing? Dad, stop it. Don't do this. You said that God would provide. Where is it? You can imagine how he felt in that moment. But the Bible said he did not waver. The reason he is the father of our faith and not me or you, it's because he was able to see into the invisible world beyond what the natural circumstances were. And as a result, he became the father of many nations and the father of our faith. So Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I got to have an illustration for you. If you bring the mountain of the Lord in here. We believe and know today that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. It was on that same mountain that Solomon built his temple, the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. And today is the place where the Muslims have built their third holy shrine, right over the top of that same thing. And so this ladder is Mount Moriah. And I need some help today. I need Isaac. Isaac, come on up here. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Abraham. I'm your daddy. You Isaac.
Good to meet you.
Yes, sir. And I need a ram. Illy, won't you be the ram? His name is Ilya, but I call him Illy.
That's all right.
Illy, you the ram. Okay? And here's what I want you to do, Illy. Abraham and Isaac are going to make their move towards the mountain. When they make a move, you make a move. Right. If they go forward, you go forward. If they go back, you go back. Okay? They can't see you because there's a mountain here. But God is directing you. All right. Okay? All right. Now, I know you worried about the lamb. I know you worried about it. Yes. But God's going to provide for himself a lamb. Now, don't worry about this wood that's on you. Fire I got in my hand. And the knife I got here. Don't worry about that. Okay? That's all for the burnt offering. All right? And so let's go on up to Mount Moriah, shall we? All right? I don't know if I can do it. Let's come back down here and talk just for a minute. Well, we're going to believe God, aren't we, son? All right, come on, let's go. Here we go. I'm going to try my best. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think. Let's go back down here and talk about it for a minute. You see, what's happening is I make a step of faith. God brings the answer in faith. As I back off the step of faith, the answer backs off. If I back off totally and don't do what I'm supposed to do, I never know that the answer was just right there on the other side of the mountain. And so we get in our mind, you know what? God is able. Listen, if I have to sacrifice you today, God's able to raise you from the dead. Now stop all you squealing and crying and come on, boy. Get up on that mountain. Get up on there. There you go. And look, right there's the answer, right there. Give them a big hand. They did a real good job. Some of you are facing a massive mountain. You're facing a mountain, but I'm telling you, when you get in faith, God's bringing the answer, though you can't see it, right on the other side of the mountain. It's coming. When you make a step of faith, it's making a step. Say, well, when is it going to get here? I don't know. Whenever you get to the top of that mountain. And so you make a step, he makes a step. You make a step, he makes a step. You climb a step, he climbs a step. Until when you get to the moment of truth, you don't know how he's going to provide, who he's going to provide, what he's going to provide, but he provides. Yeah. Jesus' name, amen. So Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So Abraham said, here I am. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now, everybody say now.
Now,
now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Look at that word now again. Now I know. I didn't know it when you just pulled up roots and started looking for a city that nobody told you where you're going to go to. I didn't know it when you stood outside and rebuked your wife for laughing and looked at the stars of the heavens and thought, yeah, I believe God, so my descendants to be. I didn't know it when I took you out on the seashore and you saw all those grains of sand and told you that so your heirs would be. I didn't see it all then. But now, in this moment, in this second, I see it. Why? Because you have not withheld from me the thing that you love and cherish the most, your son. Let me just say this to you. Whatever you withhold from God, see, Abraham did not withhold his son, his only son. And whatever you withhold from God, that's the thing you worship, not God. And the testing of your faith is not so that God will see. He knows. It's so that you'll see who's on the throne of your life. What's on the throne of your life? If you own something that you can't sell or give away, you don't own it. It owns you. And you might as well paint that thing gold, put it on your mantle, and every morning walk in and just bow down to it. Why? Because you're obeying it more than you're obeying him. Right? Now, I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram. He offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. In fellowship with God, it shall be provided. When you're not, listen, when you fear God, there's nothing you have, nothing you got, nothing you want that's more important than him. And you're willing to offer. Now look what happened. Because he was willing to offer his only son, he became the father of many sons and many daughters. Had he not offered his only son, that would have been the only thing he ever gave. And you would never heard his name mentioned. Just another person. Faith is the substance of the things that we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. God-pleasing faith believes, speaks, hopes, looks to God, does not waver, doesn't take the credit, and lives life in such a way that they're fully convinced that whatever God promised, God can do. That's big faith. That's big faith. And you can bet that your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. You see, in that moment when Abraham's faith was tested, he did not waver toward fear, but he kept moving toward faith. Now, some of us here this morning are racked by fear. Some of us live in the valley of indecision. Just can't make a decision because you're afraid to make the wrong decision. Well, indecision many times is the wrong decision. Say, well, what if I make the wrong decision? God's able to raise it from the dead. He's just looking for faith is action. Faith is verbal words. It's action. It's moving. Fear is also action. Fear is also verbal words. They're two sides of the same coin. One's the positive side, one's the negative side. And so we weren't created to live a life bound by fear. We were created to walk in the prosperity and the power and the life of God by faith. Paul was penniless many times. But he said, look, I'm wealthy, I'm rich, I have all the resources of God at my fingertips. You and me, we can live that way too. But you have to live by faith. Sometimes we get in trouble, you know, and we just have a pity party. I don't care who you invite to your pity party, the devil's always going to show up. He's always going to show up. And so, look, God has compassion on your tears, but he's not moved by them. He's moved by faith. That's what he's looking for. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man, looking for a person, woman, somebody who's got faith, who believes that he can do it, and believes that he is faithful to his promise, fully convinced that what he's promised, he's able to deliver. If you're ready to stop operating in fear, I want you to stand up wherever you are. I'm tired of being afraid, tired of living in the valley of indecision, tired of just, you know, being where I can't decide left or right or this or that. Or maybe you're facing a big decision in your life, you know, and you think, you know, I'm scared to make the wrong decision. Look, we're going to get rid of that today. It's going to be gone today. Look at me. You press in there to God and hear his voice. Say, well, how will I know it's him? You just sort of know. And you have to make a step of faith. It'll be tested. Don't worry, it's going to be tested. But you got to decide in your heart, you know what, I'm going for God. I'm going for God. I'm going for God. All right? And when you decide that, then the Bible says there's a reward for those who diligently seek him. There's a reward for you. It's the doggonest thing I ever seen in my life. God really, really loves you. He really loves you. And what you're going through now in the scope of your whole life is nothing. It seems like a lot because it's hard right now. But God has an answer for you. There's something in the invisible world that you're going to begin to speak to and pull down. It's going to become visible. Amen? So if you're standing, just put both hands in the air, just like that. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of fear now. I break its power in our lives. Lord, the worry, the anxiety, the care, the cares of what ifs. I shoulda, I woulda, I coulda. All that stuff, Lord, we break the power of all that because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We got now, we got this moment. Not the condemnation of the past and not the worry of the future. We got now in this moment. And Lord, we trust God. Lord, we thank you that you will provide and meet all of our need according to your riches and glory. That's a promise for us. So we take it now, in Jesus' name. Now say this, you got your hands in there, say this. Lord Jesus, I rebuke fear in my life and indecision. I'll make a decision in Jesus' name. and I won't be afraid, because I know, even if it's the wrong decision, you got the power to raise a dead decision back to life. I don't know how you do it, but I trust that you can. So I trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Come on. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to operate in. Big faith. Next week, we're going to talk about big dreams, because big faith is powered by big dreams. Okay? And so this week, here's what I want you thinking about this week. What is the dream of my life? What is the dream of my life? I've had lots of dreams that I'm thankful that God didn't give me. Right? I was reading about Ruth Graham this week, and Ruth Graham says she was so happy that God did not answer all of her prayers. Because had he had answered all of her prayers, she would have definitely married somebody other than Billy Graham. Yeah, because she had the opportunity to get married two or three times before she met Billy. And said, God just said no. And so, you know what? Everybody here, if you don't have a dream, you can have one. God has a dream for you. There are things in the invisible world that are reserved just for you, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has ever entered into the heart of man. And I want us to mine those things out this year, okay? We're going to do it with big faith. So say big faith. Turn to your neighbor and say big faith. God bless you. Have a great, great day. Thank you for coming. And go Eagles.